Welcome to The Stare Down, sports talk and real estate, with Sean Carpenter of Coldwell Banker in Columbus, Ohio, Bill Risser of Fidelity National Title in Tampa, Florida, and Todd Meininger of Cummins, Georgia. Listen in as they discuss the week in sports and toss in a pinch of real estate too. Now your hosts, Sean, Todd and Bill.
Hey, greetings, everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Stare Down. That's our sports talk and real estate show that we do every week. I'm Sean Carpenter in Columbus, Ohio, joined by my two good beer-drinking sports-talking friends, Bill Risser in St. Petersburg, Florida, and Todd Meininger in Cumming, Georgia. Good evening, boys. How are you, Bill? Let's start with you this week.
I'm doing great. It was a fantastic weekend in St. Petersburg and Tampa. Temperatures in the low 80s. Cindy and I enjoyed a nice lighted boat parade at Paso Grill in the Boca Ciega Bay. And this morning played golf in a fantastic day and then came home and actually just kind of walked around town enjoying I don't know how to explain it, but I mean, I grew up in San Diego, I lived in Phoenix. I'm pretty comfortable with good weather, but this was just something special today. So.
Yeah. And you were coming up on your 1 year anniversary there, right?
Yeah. January 3rd is the day that we got here. So we're a month away.
You've been there exactly 11 months. That's great.
Exactly 11 months. Yep.
Good. And Todd, how about you, bud? What's going on there?
Yeah, Bill, it's a different kind of good weather in Florida, right? It's hard to describe with the Gulf breeze coming, enjoying it. So had a pretty good week, Sean, work-wise. Did a lot of training this week, which is good because I got a lot more out of it than I thought I would, which is always a plus. Most people kind of drag their feet into the training arena, but it was a good week. Celebrated my son Scott's birthday. His birthday's tomorrow. We had dinner tonight. He turns 15. That's good. And on a bit of a downer, my uncle passed away yesterday. So I texted you, Sean, just a little bit of a kick in the gut and was real close to him. So a little bit of a sad weekend, but thankfully sports is always with us and kind of takes your mind away from some of the things and helps you remember some of the fond good memories. So great weekend of sports, and I truly enjoyed it.
Yeah, totally. Send my thoughts and prayers to you, and we'll be thinking about your family, and we'll dedicate this episode to Uncle Dave.
Yeah, my mom's brother, her baby brother, and he was 73, and again, he wasn't in the best of health, but it was one of those quick, shocking kind of news. So took me by surprise, but we've all had similar experiences. We can all lean on each other and share. Unfortunately, the older you get, you share more and more of those experiences together. So,
yeah, exactly. Well, guys, let's talk about the week in sports. We had quite a 24 hours between going into yesterday at noon when the championship games kicked off, and today at 12:30 when the college football playoff pairings were announced. A lot of controversy, a lot of discussion, a lot of he said, she said, a lot of sides of two. Let's just cut to the chase. Two very proud, very loud fan bases, the Alabama Crimson Tide and the Ohio State Buckeyes. There was a lot of things that had to play out to make a decision. But so why don't we start in college football and kind of recap the bowl or the conference championship? It actually started Friday night as the West Coast Pac-12 decides to play their games on Friday night, maybe for a little extra TV and a little extra recognition. It's always nice for us sports fans to have something to watch on that Friday night before the championship games in the East side. Bill, did you happen to catch any of the USC Stanford game?
Yeah, I caught a little bit of it. I think I picked SC when we talked last week. I don't have it in front of me. Sean should have the notes maybe, or I just got them all right.
I'll vouch for you, Bill. I think you did.
Yeah. And I thought, you know, Darnold looked great. SC, once again, it's their continuing saga of USC wrapping up a season strong, but having screwed it up so bad in the beginning that they didn't really even get to be a part of the conversation, right? A two-loss team was not going to get any look whatsoever, obviously, now in hindsight, right? For the championship. So,
but yeah, kind of sad because they lost both games on the road. They lost to Stanford, yeah. And they lost a Friday night.
I thought they beat Stanford twice this year. No, they, yeah, because they lost to Washington State. At Washington State. Yeah, I'm trying to think of the other loss. Now that I don't want to mess that up, but
I'll do some research real quick.
Yeah, because I thought I heard them today that someone talking about they'd beat Stanford twice, but I could be wrong.
Hold on, I got you. They lost to Notre Dame.
There it is. That's the other one.
Notre Dame, Washington State. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, and the Notre Dame loss was bad.
Yeah, 42-10, I think. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
49-14.
Yeah. And so we found out the committee doesn't like really bad losses, right?
And then,
yeah.
Yeah. Turns out losses, as Kirby Hokut, the commissioner or the chairman of the committee,
right.
That's kind of the way it boiled down to in his first response to Reese Davis when he was kind of interviewed is the losses to Iowa was a bigger issue than Alabama losing to Auburn as their only loss and not playing in the championship. So,
and having a softer schedule.
And yeah. Yep.
Right.
So Todd, let's start with the early games. Did you have a chance to catch any of the UCF Memphis game? Another thriller down in Orlando.
I did, Sean. I think I mentioned here before, I spent some years in Orlando being a Florida boy. So what a game, right? I think they scored 120 points that game. So as I remember it, there's a lot of, but UCF came out early, had a nice good cushion. And then Memphis seemed to take control of the game. And then UCF caught up and we went into double overtime. What a game. Memphis lost one game all year, actually two now, both to UCF, who are undefeated. So you got to tip your hat to the Memphis Tigers. What a great squad, great year. But UCF found a way to win. And I think the worst-kept secret in all of college football was Scott Frost was going to go to Nebraska. I think the players may have known that. Maybe that pushed him over the edge to win the AAC, I believe, is the conference. So congratulations to those guys. Sean, I think you tweeted after about the awkward exchange with the post-game sideline reporter and
Tom McShay. Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead and run with that.
Well, I just, you know, look, I get that it's a business. But so is the game itself. I mean, what these guys cover is the game, and they cover, and people tune in to watch the game. They don't tune in to watch the hirings and firings of coaches. And I just felt that there was a, kind of a special story happening there with the kids at UCF, you know, completing an undefeated season, which no other team, in Division I did. And to, you know, midway through the game, kind of break the news that, it's been, you know, broken that the job will be filled by Scott Frost, which I don't think anybody doubted, especially after Florida filled their role with Dan Mullen. Foregone conclusion, but it just felt like there was this, we need to run down on the field and get what he's thinking. And frankly, who the hell cares what he's thinking? He's you know, I loved his honest emotions. I loved that he wore his emotions on his sleeve. He had tears in his eyes. He was clearly excited. You know, probably the most cliched media question, tell us what you're thinking.
Right.
Tell us what you're thinking. That's just, it's such a, you know, psychiatrists can't get people to tell you what they're thinking. And some, you know, some sports reporter on the sideline thinks he's going to tell you what they're thinking. And he was very honest. He says, I think I'm going to go celebrate with my team now. And it was really cool. And I'll tell you, Scott and UCF and the UCF social media team, I just think they played it well. I think, you know, the tweet right afterwards was classy by UCF. I sent it to both of you guys. Mm-hmm. You know, we wanted to give him a trophy before he left, or we wanted to win one for our coach. They took a picture. It was really cool. It was a really cool moment. And it is what it is. You know, people say, you know, the media or the bosses were in his ear. I don't think any fan would have said, gosh, the day sucked because I didn't get to hear how Scott Frost felt after the game. I don't think a single fan in America, even in Nebraska, gives two rat's asses about that.
Hey, real quick, Sean, to rebut, the whole time Todd McShay was interviewing Scott Frost, in my mind I'm going, he's got to ask the question. He's got to ask the question. And he even paused before he asked, like, God, I can't believe I have to ask this question. So I think in his defense, I think he's doing his job. He's probably in his ear saying, ask Scott Frost about the Nebraska position, ask him about it. So that was tough. But I agree with you. Hats off to UCF, their social media department. But how about Nebraska's response? I think even classier, right? Did you see – you saw that. Basically, I'm paraphrasing, glad that we have such a great coach, but you guys have one more to win. So go do it and have that perfect season, which yep. Both programs, kudos to both those for handling it so well.
Yeah, and I don't know if you saw it, guys, but did you happen to see the little it's about a minute 10 video of welcoming Scott Frost home? They kind of – that the drone flies in over the stadium. It's got the red lights, and it says welcome home. Has a picture of Scott Frost on the scoreboard. Pretty cool digital moment there for Scott Frost. And, hey, hope he does some good things. The Big Ten could use a couple other contenders on the West to battle with Wisconsin.
Sean, real quick, I heard his dad is ill also, and that was a big reason he wanted to go to Nebraska. He wanted to have the chance to coach for Nebraska while his dad can still see him do that. I heard that was a huge draw. So good for him. He's going back home, and I hope it's successful.
Bill, the other early game in the championships was the Big 12. Kicked off early, 11:30 kickoff out in Dallas.
Yep.
Baker Mayfield and the Oklahoma Sooners won handily over TCU. TCU did jump back and make it I think they came within 3 points and then they didn't really ever touch it again. But Mayfield once again looked strong in that game. Defense was strong. They're playing really good football right now. What'd you think of Oklahoma's efforts?
I think they kind of cemented the fact that of the four teams that are in the playoffs, Oklahoma is the offense to be worried about, right?
Yes.
I think as a unit, they're number one. The question is going to be for them, how many points are they going to give up? How are they going to do again? They're going to play Georgia in the first game. Yes. So they've got to deal with that offense of Georgia's and probably looking at a shootout. But Baker Mayfield, a shoe-in for the Heisman, is that kind of a consensus in this group here?
Oh, yeah.
Is there anybody that's even close? I mean, I think it's
I think the harder question is who are people going to give second and third to?
Yeah.
Because it's almost like Mayfield, people can write down Mayfield, like, well, let's see. It doesn't matter.
Right.
There's no runner-up trophy, but I think there's probably a harder decision between second and third than there is between first. It's Baker. He'll win. I won't say he'll get the largest margin of victory ever, but it'll be pretty wide.
Yeah. So that's great for Oklahoma. They their one loss was the Iowa State game.
Ohio State.
Yes.
Ohio State.
No,
Iowa State. In Norman. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, there. And you think about it, Clemson with Syracuse, and all these weird losses for these one loss teams, right? The only team
and Syracuse hasn't won a game since that game.
No, they were on a roll when they beat them. They were actually playing very well, but nothing since. Yeah, and so you think about it, it's all one loss teams in the playoffs. And who had the best loss was probably Alabama, right? When you think about it.
Yeah.
Right? Their loss was to Auburn, who at the time, was, a top five team. But
you could argue Georgia the same way, right?
Well, that's true. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Yeah.
They're the only team that's beaten everyone they've faced this year.
That's
Georgia,
right? Yeah. Yeah, both Georgia and Alabama lost to Auburn. Unbelievable. Yeah.
And Bill, you mentioned a lot of one loss team, and Sean, I'm sure you'll agree, and Bill, you will too. This just goes to show how hard it is to go undefeated, right? You're going to have one hiccup. And I think that's the key to, and I'm sure Sean will later talk about the Final Four, but I think that played a huge role. You can have a hiccup. Wisconsin had a hiccup last night, but I don't think their body work was as good. UCF's playing in a lesser conference, but I think that had a lot to do. One hiccup, maybe excusable. Two, especially one by 31 points on the road. We can talk about that.
Yeah, no, it's totally. And so let's go to the next game, 4 o'clock, SEC in that classic position, first championship game in the new Mercedes-Benz Center. It was lit up. It was fun. It was. It looked great. And Auburn looked great in that first drive. I mean, Auburn really just, Todd, both you and I picked Georgia going in. But boy, after that first drive, it was a Auburn came to play. And then Georgia and Jake Fromm, they're a freshman. And, you know, it's so cliche, but because we're doing a sports program, at this point in the season, you're not a freshman anymore. You know, it's just he clearly looked comfortable. They sort of let him. He had some really – he had, I think, three or four throws that I counted where he went from the far hash to the outside sideline. He ran these long out routes and just put the ball on a laser. And Georgia's receivers were really good. And then their running backs – I mean, there was a really good run-pass mix.
Balance.
It's pretty close to – pretty close to 50-50, which I think most coaches would love to see. Bill, I know that you weren't able to watch it because of some previous commitments. You were just kind of watching the feed on your phone. Did anything surprise you about kind of what you were seeing? Was there at any point where you're like, wow, I'm kind of surprised that Georgia's up 14? Oh, they're up 21.
Yeah, so because it was 10-7 at the half, right? It was still a game at halftime, right? And so. I checked in, saw that, and thought, okay, great. We're going to have something that's going to be exciting and kind of close. And sure enough, the next time I checked in, they'd started their push, and they definitely took care of business in the second half. I had Auburn in that game. I know I did. But good for Georgia, I guess. You know, it's the first time they've been in a shot at the national championships since Herschel Walker. Is that right? Yeah. I mean, so that's wonderful for them and wonderful for the town of Atlanta, right?
Well, Athens anyway.
Right? Athens, sorry. Yeah. Well.
No, you're right. It's close. So, yeah, since I think in 05 with Mark Richt is the last time they won the SEC. Yeah, 1980. What is it? Run, Lindsey, run. What is it, Sean?
Run, Lindsey, run. Yep.
Yeah. That's the big one. Yards. So, Sean, that game to me was, you know, it looked rough for Georgia early. Certainly, it was probably influenced. I was watching the game with some Georgia fans, but it didn't seem like they were the beneficiary of some good calls. There were some head scratchers, but that said,
there was a lot of penalties in that game.
Yes. Lot. But you have to survive. I'm a true believer. You have to survive the first couple series. The first series is usually all scripted by a team, so they look really good. But yeah, they kind of got their feet underneath them, and Georgia was just the better team yesterday. Yeah. And I feel for Auburn. I mean, they've been through a gauntlet, right? I mean, something had to give. I think they just ran out of gas, but Georgia looked good.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it was clearly – Bill, you weren't watching, but Todd, you were. It was very clear that Kerryon Johnson was not 100%.
I think we knew that going in, right?
Yeah, we did. We that was part of our prediction, I think, is that he was coming off an injury in the Alabama game, but he just – he did not look comfortable. He had the one fumble, and the fumble wasn't anything that was because of his injury. The fumble was just a perfect, you know, tackle by the linebacker who just, you know, his hand just kind of went right into the ball. But the you know, Auburn receivers just could not find space. And so credit to the, you know, kind of a neat matchup because Georgia's secondary and linebackers have really stepped up this year. Will they be able to maintain Baker Mayfield and the Oklahoma receivers who really, I mean, nobody spreads the field, I think, like Oklahoma. And then you have to worry about Mayfield's running.
Sure.
There's no quarterback in the SEC that Georgia's faced that has been a threat, right? I mean, South Carolina doesn't have a threat. Tennessee doesn't have a threat. You know, name me a quarterback in the SEC that's a ground threat. You can say Jalen Hurts, but Georgia didn't play Alabama.
I see where you're going. I tend to agree with you, but I'm thinking the flip side. I don't think Oklahoma's faced a defense as solid as a Georgia, right? I mean, they're scoring a lot of points and they're the best offense, but gosh, what a test it's going to be for them. And what I love about this format is you have guys that have 28 days, 4 weeks to get ready. So you have Oklahoma with an amazing offense, Georgia with a very well-balanced team. Let's practice for 4 weeks. And when you line up, I think the better team is going to win more times than not because of preparation. I really believe that. And I think Georgia's defense is is going to be trouble for Oklahoma. I think Georgia's all running backs, but God, Jake Fromm looked pretty composed. And I think he was, what, 16 for 21, 200 yards, two touchdowns. Gosh, I'm being a little bit of a homer, but I think Georgia's looking tough right now.
Right.
Yeah. Bill, anything to add on the SEC?
No. No, not at all.
Other than what might have been one of the worst performances ever by the left hand, the kid on the left hand side of my screen in the Dr. Pepper challenge.
Oh
my God.
Golly.
It was, you know, Bill, how sometimes they now do the two-handed push to get the ball in the basket.
Almost everybody.
Most do.
Yeah. This kid, I'm guessing, is more of a chess club or a musician because he was
There's anything wrong with that.
Yeah. He missed the Coke can like five times. Completely missed the whole team.
Wow.
Yeah.
And Sean, did you see that meme that said, I didn't know Felipe Franks was eligible for the Dr. Pepper Challenge?
Oh, that's brutal.
Funny.
In the night games, Bill, I think you said it earlier before we went on in the green room, the ACC game was what a snoozer. Sold out in Charlotte, 74,000 people. They just watched an absolute dud of a game. Clemson just pounded Miami. Not much more to say about that other than, you know, the turnover. You can have all the turnover chains you want in the world, but if you don't play, you know, the rest of your, you know, positions, Clemson looked good.
Clemson found a pretty damn good replacement for Deshaun, right? I mean, Kelly Bryant looked good.
Yeah.
So,
hey.
Yeah, that was.
Hey, Sean, in all fairness to Miami, God, Clemson looks good. I mean, I think Miami made a good season, but wow, that was a tough order for them to compete in that game, I think.
Yeah. Now Miami plays Wisconsin. Miami's going to play Wisconsin in the Orange Bowl. It's kind of a home game. They're coming off two losses. They're going to play a methodical, rough team. But as Alan Hornibrook, as we transition over to the Big Ten championship, you might see the turnover chain come out in the bowl game. Because Hornibrook had 15 interceptions, I believe, this year. He clearly – you could tell Ohio State was the best team that they faced all year. It wasn't even close. I mean, Ohio State had four plays of 50 yards or more, and Wisconsin, I think, had given up one the whole season. Four plays of 50 yards or more. Pretty powerful.
Yeah, Sean, and what just stuck out to me, and Bill and Sean, I'd love to hear what you had to say, but gosh, if JT Barrett could hit a wide open receiver, that game would have been a runaway. Like, the fact that Wisconsin was that close was amazing, because I'm not sure to think Wisconsin played horribly. I mean, obviously give them those big plays, but if you see the first hat stats, it said plays 4-3-2, 4-2, 4-3, and it's
right.
Touchdown, interception, punt, touchdown, touchdown, but they had no drive over four plays. It was insane. It was so weird. But, gosh, JT Barrett, especially in the second half, missed some wide-open guys. They needed him to hit those guys to have a chance to make the final four. And I think not blowing out Wisconsin hurt him in the long run.
Yeah, I thought, you know, obviously I was pulling for Wisconsin to win because I didn't want what we went through over the last 24 hours was or 18 hours figuring out, is it Auburn or is it Alabama, is it Ohio State, really? And we talked about it earlier, the fact that Ohio State beat Wisconsin. They created this whole nightmare that had Kirk Herbstreit walking off the set for a little while, maybe in
jail. I heard about that. Yeah,
it was pretty funny. Yeah, he was upset when that fourth one rolled up. But
he wasn't upset. He said he thought Alabama was the better team. He said, "I think Alabama should be in. I don't think they will be in. I would be shocked." Right. He said, "I will be shocked if I see Alabama on that screen." And then when Alabama came up, I think he was like, "Oh my God!" You know,
yeah. I think it was theater. Yeah, yeah.
More in jest.
I agree.
But JT Barrett, I mean, to have, I don't care if it's just little, you know, kind of snipping some meniscus and fixing something in the knee, but 6 days after surgery to come out and play as well as he did. You know, you mentioned you missed some receivers, but I mean that after that long 77-yard run, you know, they got him down to the one or two for Barrett to run that in himself. And Took a couple of hits, and it was very interesting to watch him play. Incredible. I mean, I thought that was amazing. But yeah,
Let me ask you a question, Bill. To the best of my knowledge, the three of us have no Division I coaching experience.
You want to check your facts, sir?
Yeah, you never know.
What do you do, Bill, when you got an able-bodied, healthy backup who can throw the ball, and Dwayne Haskins, the backup quarterback who came in and relieved
great against Michigan
in the Michigan game and played great, knowing that you got a guy coming off surgery, knowing that you kind of have removed one of his playing cards, and that's the rolling, the quarterback option, the runs. He had a few runs, but he looked tentative on some. Mm-hmm. He kind of almost pulled up on a couple. But he's your guy. So he's basically the winningest quarterback in OSU history, Bill. He just surpassed Arch Leister as the winningest quarterback, 37 games he's won. What would you do? Would you play the guy who you know is healthy, or do you go with the guy that got you there?
I'll tell you what. Everything I watched this weekend that talked about what kind of a man JT Barrett is, what he does with that team, what kind of a leader he is. I mean, for Urban Meyer, even Urban Meyer said this. He equated Barrett to Tebow and said, this guy is the heart and soul of his team. This is exactly what Tim did back in, 05 or 06 or 07. So I think he absolutely did the right thing. Do you think he had a quick trigger in mind if it wasn't working out? Probably. But JT Barrett was unbelievable considering the circumstances. And of course, I think Todd kind of mentioned this. He made the right decision because they won. So.
Yeah, and they were never down. They were never down in the game.
Never, no. No, I mean, the pick six was just ill-advised and a great play by the kid on Wisconsin. But after that, they never really contended again. They weren't close after that. They got up 14 pretty quick.
And listen, Sean, I'm nitpicking if you could hit a receiver, but I'm talking they needed to blow him out to do that. But, yeah, the game was really never in doubt, right? I mean, did you ever think Wisconsin would win? So I think – hey, they won the Big Ten. Hats off to Ohio State. JT Barrett's a man. He's 6 days off surgery. He's running quarterback. I don't call him draws or whatever. Getting first downs. He got stopped 2 yards behind the first down, spun and got the first down in a very critical. Yeah. So, yeah. Hey, Urban made the right choice.
I agree. And Urban, say hate him, love him, whatever you want to do. Urban today came out. And he says, look, I slumped in my chair when I saw the news that Alabama was in. But, look, I love these kids, and we got a game to play, and they should – they will go down in history as Big Ten champions. We'll learn to not lose a game like we did this year in Iowa, And so it's tough. I mean, I don't know what else you can do, though. I turned off Twitter last night as the game ended and said, look, I don't control anything. I really don't have any impact. I don't really care. My job as a college football fan is to watch all the games I can. I live in Columbus, Ohio. I'm an SEC guy. I really don't. If Ohio State would have got in, and I actually thought up until the moment they came on the screen, I thought Ohio State was going to get in. I thought, let's talk about it, Bill. You have last year where Ohio State got in as the non-Big Ten champion.
Penn State got ripped, or they were.
And Penn State got shafted.
Yep.
There was some argument about, well, Ohio State won, and they're a better team, and the eye test, and blah blah blah. This year, shoes on the other foot. Yeah. Ohio State with two big losses, one at home to Oklahoma, one on the road, as documented, to Iowa, against Alabama, who now it came down to Alabama hadn't played anybody. Alabama lost to the only good team they played. Ohio State has all these big wins.
How much of it do you think is – I know they're supposed to stick with the body of work, but these guys are human, these 13 men in a room, right? They're human. Men and women. 13 men and women in a room. They're human. They had to know that Ohio State got blown out last year, right? In fact, no Big Ten team last 2 years has scored a point. The joke about now it's 3 years in a row is hilarious. But – and Alabama's never missed a playoff. That has to weigh in their mind, right? Yeah. When you pick between those two teams, you got a team that's laid an egg and another team who's won, 3 of 5? I mean, whatever it is, it's insane, right? So
Yeah.
I think,
but let's be honest. I do find it humorous that the Buckeye fan, the Buckeye fan says Alabama got in because of their name only.
Yeah.
Hey, Ohio State's got a pretty big brand in college football as well. And I don't think anyone in Columbus or in the Buckeye Nation can say that Alabama has a brand that gets them other places and Ohio State doesn't, because frankly, that's kind of the joke, right? Is that if Alabama didn't have all these championships, we'd be the best and blah, blah, blah. And you know, it's just each fan base is so loud and so proud. And really it kind of boils down to Alabama loves Alabama, Ohio State loves Ohio State, and everyone else hates Alabama and Ohio State, right? Because they are Alabama and Ohio State. Because
it's like Yankees and the Red Sox. You know, they're not in the same division like they are conference, but it's the same thing, right?
Yeah.
The hometown folks love them, and just about everybody else in the country is tired of them. It's just the way it goes.
So look, it's in the books. Let's fast forward. And I said to you, Bill, as Todd was booting up his computer tonight, the early line came out that the Alabama Crimson Tide are the 2-1 favorites to win the championship. Clemson is 5-2 favorites, and Georgia and Oklahoma are both 3-1 favorites. So what are your thoughts, Todd, on, you know, all this controversy, yet Alabama becomes the odds on favorite to win it all? Does that say anything maybe about the decision that the committee made?
So real quick, Let me backtrack real quick. USC had a great argument, right? No consideration. I guess it's part of being in the West. Three teams in the South, Clemson, Georgia, Alabama, contiguous states.
Yeah.
Grab your dictionary, contiguous states. amazing, right? And what helped me in all this is Booger McFarland said, if you had to have your commission check salary, who are you betting on, Alabama, Ohio State? So that's where I felt comfortable with Alabama. But Sean, getting back to your question, they have 28 days to prepare, right?
Yeah.
I mean, think of that.
And get healthy.
So what hurts Georgia is, I don't know if you guys know, but their starting middle linebacker got arrested for the fourth time in his career for marijuana possession last night at 11 o'clock.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't hear that.
So if you ever think of hometown cops, the Athens police aren't that, right? they got the guy. So you can't avoid suspensions. You can't avoid offseason. But you're right, Sean. You have injury recovery and time to repair. I think that's why Nick Saban's getting that respect odds-wise, right, of you have 28 days to prepare. So I think maybe the two best teams are facing each other at 4-1. Two best, meaning if you didn't know anything and saw those teams, you'd pick Clemson or Alabama. Just who's going to win? Easy pick, right? So –
if we had someone on this podcast who is more of an expert in gambling, I could ask this question. But I just wanted to know, you know, when you talk about lines and odds, it's, you know, really when you get to the gist of that, right, Todd or Sean, whoever wants to take this question.
Yeah.
Just trying to get half the money on one team and half on the other. And because Alabama is as good as they are, they know, doesn't know, the odds maker sit there and go, well, we're going to make them the favorite because we got to get the money moved around a little bit.
No. You're absolutely correct. The odds are designed so the house can win money. So the reason a team is -7 at kickoff, it's because there's enough money on them that they want, and it moves up. If it starts at 7 and goes to 10, they want money on the underdog, right? Yep. So you're exactly right. So it's a good baseline to kind of judge where everyone's at, but you can't get too into it as you indicated, because it's more of how does Vegas make money? So that could be a whole another show if we.
Really yeah, no that. Kidding. One time it'd be fun.
Well, I mean, guys,
go ahead, Todd.
I was just going to say, I mean, we could say without officially picking, I mean, between those four, you know, who if you had a gun to head right now, you have 10 seconds to decide who wins it.
The whole thing.
Yeah, just with those four. Sean, you know, 10 seconds. What do you got?
Well, I really like if Georgia can come out of the Rose Bowl playing it basically a home game. Could be interesting. But I think there's going to be a chip on Nick Saban's shoulder that's going to be pretty powerful. It's hard to say, man. I think I could argue all four teams. I really could. I could argue all four teams, which is kind of fun. And I think that's maybe an indication that maybe they got it right.
And if Ohio State was in, sorry, Buckeye fans, I think they'd be the easiest to say they're out. Same with Wisconsin.
Right.
You know, so.
Right.
Well, the good news is we have a long time to worry about that game. Let's quickly highlight a couple of the other bowl games that came out as a result of that. Bill, why don't you jump up into your app and maybe just go through the games that at least top level you say, and why don't you go through the other New Year's Six games?
Sure.
Which are some good ones.
Yeah, pulling it up right now. I don't know why it's just we're going to go backwards. Okay, so the other six. Let's see. First of all, so we got the Citrus Bowl with Notre Dame and LSU.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. So that's interesting. Auburn gets UCF in the Peach Bowl. How about this would be interesting for you, Sean. Michigan gets the Gamecocks in the Outback Bowl. That's a Monday, January first game as well.
Interesting. Will Muschamp. You know, I think any good college football fan will remember the last time Michigan played South Carolina in the Outback Bowl was the perhaps one of the greatest hits of all time with Jadeveon Clowney breaking through the line and stopping the Michigan running back. I believe it was Mike White on that amazing behind the line tackle.
You want some more games? We're just get a rundown. Yeah. So let's go on the day before on the 30th. We get Mississippi State and SEC team gets Louisville, who we know was kind of a disappointment this year, obviously. How about Iowa State playing in the Liberty Bowl, you know, on the 30th of December? That's pretty big. Playing Memphis.
Memphis, wow.
Memphis, yeah. So that'll be fun.
The home game there, yeah.
Yeah. Washington, Penn State down in Arizona at the Fiesta Bowl. I know.
Yeah, that's going to be
A lot of traveling fans there. That's good for the Fiesta Bowl.
Well, you know, Kirby Hocutt mentioned that the part of their decision was not to send some of the teams to the same places they've been. You know, the Buckeyes have played a couple Fiesta Bowls.
Yep.
You know, so some new cities to try and get the fans there. But I'll tell you what, just mark this down. Saquon Barkley, one of the best running backs in the country, versus Washington, one of the best running defenses in the country. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. And Washington – maybe a chip on their shoulder after their disappointment last year, getting trounced by Alabama.
Yeah. A great matchup in the Cotton Bowl. You get basically the two teams who feel like they got screwed out of a shot at the national championship with Ohio State and USC, right?
Mm.
So that'll be a good game.
Basically, the Rose Bowl moved west, right?
Yeah. There's some people upset in L.A. I heard some people on talk radio today talk about the fact that there's not for the first time maybe ever, there's not a Big Ten or a Pac-12 team in the Rose Bowl.
Wow.
Because they always tried to figure that out. Even
tradition,
though, this tradition thing. So that's kind of disappointing. No,
that's not true because that's true because Oregon
in the actual Rose Bowl, not the game, not the championship game, but the actual Rose Bowl itself on January 1st.
Right, but Oregon played.
So there's the Pac-12.
Oregon played Florida State when Oregon State won big. Yeah. And then I remember Miami played Nebraska, but that was in the BCS championship game.
Yeah. Not the Rose Bowl. Yeah.
But even Nebraska is that Big Ten team, right? You had to have one of the others.
So. They are now. Yeah. But they weren't at the time.
Ah, gotcha. The Sun Devils get NC State.
Wow.
We're going to struggle in the Sun Bowl. Yeah. That'll be kind of fun to watch. I'm trying to think of anything else in here. Oh, Michigan State, Washington State for the Holiday Bowl. Another one in San Diego. That's kind of good.
Wow.
Yeah, Stanford,
Miami, Wisconsin.
That's right, Miami, Wisconsin. Stanford, TCU in the Alamo Bowl. So, I'm trying to think of anything else that matters.
Texas Tech, South Florida, Bill.
Yeah, that's true. That's going to be that'll be fun. Where are they playing?
That's in Birmingham, the Birmingham Bowl.
Okay, gotcha. San Diego State gets Army in the Armed Forces Bowl. That seems like a disadvantage for San Diego State. and just because I know someone who went to Central Michigan, the Chippewas of Central Michigan get Wyoming in the Idaho Potato Bowl. So
nice. Well, we'll do our picks.
We'll go through all of them with our picks, right? Yeah.
Probably 2 weeks from tonight, we'll go through them all. And that's always a fun bragging rights. I believe it's 1-0. Bill Risser has the belt. The belts are meant to be taken. So,
yeah. Hey, I got to give you one other talking about belts and turnover chains. Did you see what Kennesaw State did? Did you see the story?
No.
This is hilarious. They wanted to have something. And so they took a piece of wood, a broken piece of wood, a plank, and they put a couple of googly eyes on it and a mouth, and it's the turnover plank. And I swear when there's a turnover, they give the kid the plank. and he stands up and shows it to the crowd, and it's just this stupid piece of wood, and it's almost better
that's
than
so the funny. Furniture
chain. Yeah, it was just perfect. So.
That's great.
Go check out Kennesaw State and the the turnover plank.
Right. Hey guys, I'm gonna say it right now. Let's see what happens over the next few weeks. But just I think last year's trend is going to return. Some of these games that don't mean anything, I think we're going to start seeing some players that have their eyes on the NFL. They're gonna sit down and not play, and I think it could make a huge difference on some of these games. Mm. You know, USC, Ohio State's got about 8 or 9 guys that are clearly probably going to go pro now because they're not playing for the championship, and so that completely changes that game a little bit, as does many of the games. So just make a note on that. You heard it here first.
Okay.
All right, guys, let's jump to the NFL today. We had a game on Thursday where the Cowboys got back on the winning streak, beat the Redskins. Bill, what was your game that you kind of had on your radar today after you were on the golf? What was a game that stood out to you as a must-watch or a must-win?
It's actually the game that's on right now as we record this podcast, right? Just curious to see how Philly does against Seattle in Seattle. They're currently down 10-3 early in the third quarter. So defensive struggle, which is kind of what you would expect, I would think. Two good defenses. As much as we talk about Carson Wentz and that offense, the Eagles have a complete team. I mean, they're good. They're going to play the Rams next week, which is going to be really fun to watch too. So that's the one for me that was interesting. But the other, you know, if I could throw one other thing out there, there's a three-way tie in the AFC West for first.
You know that? I know, right?
Oh, my God. The Chargers start 0-4. The Chiefs start 5-0. And the Raiders were just in the middle. They're all 6-6 now with 4 games left. That's unbelievable. Unbelievable. So, yeah, parody.
I mean, the Chiefs have just completely gone off the rails.
Yeah.
I mean, their defense was good the first 6 games of the season. Offense was on fire. They scored 31 points today.
And lost to the Jets.
The Jets.
Yeah, unbelievable. Which is really jacking up. The Jets have blown away any chance of getting a good quarterback in the draft. So, yeah. How about you? How about you, Todd?
How
did your Falcons do today?
Oh boy! So I got a couple games on my head. First of all, I was really hoping the Bills could pull it out. My family's from Buffalo. My uncle from Rochester area. So. When I saw they had New England today, I was like, oh, man, there's not going to be a miracle. But New England did what they had to do. My Falcons lost 14-9. Just nothing but field goals, and they missed one. So Minnesota's looking really, really strong. My other de facto team, the Packers, won in overtime. And the one that really stands out is Miami. God, they blew away Denver.
Wow.
So
yeah, is that a Miami thing, or is Denver just horrible?
Denver is a dumpster fire. They've lost eight in a row. Yeah. They were 3-1. They're now 3-9. Yeah. So I mean, their quarterback situation's a joke. Is it Osweiler? Lynch is hurt. Is it Simeon? They're huge trouble.
So. But I didn't see 35-9. I mean, wow, that was a beatdown. So interesting day for sure in the NFL.
Oakland comes back to win in the game Eli Manning was sitting in. Eli Manning was benched.
Yeah. Wow.
Looks like Ben McAdoo is going to get fired probably later today, or he might be one of the first NFL coaches to get canned this year.
Do you call it a benching? Because you heard the offer they gave him, right? They told Eli, they said, here's the deal, Eli. We want to get Geno in there. We want to see what he can do, which is kind of weird because he played in that stadium for the Jets for years, and they know what he does, which is like nothing. And he said, they said, look, you'll start, and the second half will bring Geno Smith in. That way he keeps the streak alive. And Eli said, no, I'm the starting quarterback. If I'm not starting and playing the whole game, I won't start. Mm. So it kind of played out for the Giants. They can almost say, well, we offered him the opportunity to start. But, you know, this is a guy, a very proud quarterback, 13 years with the team, never missed a start. Two Super Bowl championships, yeah. So pretty interesting time for what's got to be a distinguished – you know, franchise, right? With the Maras and the Giants, if they're one of the originals, and to see all this playing out, and it was supposed to be the Jets. This is crazy. So,
I'm on the side. I think they did them wrong, right? Somebody done somebody wrong. Song,
Hey, yep.
You like that? And who knows if Eli could handle it better. I think that the Giants certainly could have. I think they I got the impression he found out during a press conference. That's kind of the impression I got. So who knows? They're all big boys, got paid well, but you like to see it handled better, right?
Right. Yep.
Yeah. Guys, let's circle back before we talk about golf and then call it a night, because NBA and NHL is really nothing we're talking about in those conferences at this point in the light world. I want to circle back on college football and let's talk coaching a little bit. We had a huge conversation last week. Todd, I don't know about you, but Dan Mullen's been nothing but home runs. This guy is got an OBS just out of the park. I sent you guys both a little video kind of comparing and contrasting Jim McElwain's kind of first day on the job when he gets off the plane and no enthusiasm and no energy. And then you look at what, Mullen's around the country. He's visiting kids that he recruited at Mississippi State. He took out the full page ad in the Mississippi paper today with his wife, kind of thanking them and wishing them good luck this year. He's done everything I think he wanted to do. He was on College Game Day. He does live videos. He does the Gator Chomp everywhere he goes. It's just a new thing. Todd, just your initial impressions as a Florida alum on Dan Mullen, our new coach.
So I'm not shy to say that I liked the hiring. I wasn't in love with hiring. But since second one he's got in, the light turned into love. I've fallen in love with him as a hire. Who knows what's going to happen record-wise, but he's doing all the right things, saying all the right things, and he genuinely appears like he wants to be here. It just feels like he's happy to be here. He's happy to wake up. He's happy to be a Gator, where the past 3 years, you didn't have that feeling. So couldn't be more excited to have Dan Mullen as the coach, the HBC of the
Bill,
40 years.
Bill, how about you as kind of a adopted Gator fan? What do you think of Mullen?
Now that I know more about the guy, super happy as well. And I'm hearing the same thing here from Gator fans at golf today, for example. It's a wide cross section of guys. There's Gary Ingram, one last week from Georgia. There's the Penn State guy. I don't know his name, but there's a bunch of Florida and a bunch of Florida State guys. And the conversation on the putting green this morning was extremely positive. That's the feedback I have for you about what's happening here locally. So that's great. Mm-hmm.
So other coaching moves that have happened, Jimbo Fisher leaves Florida State a day before his team plays their final game. I don't know if you guys saw it. I'm sure you did. At the press conference at his call-in show earlier in the week, a guy stood up and basically said, you talk about loyalty. Let me ask you, where's the loyalty? And they kind of shuffled this guy out of the press conference for insinuating that Jimbo Fisher wasn't loyal to his program. Turns out the guy was pretty right. Fisher leaves, bolts in the middle of the night, so to speak. For Todd, I don't know what happened at Florida State that all of a sudden Jimbo Fisher became enemy number one. Please fill me in on that, because he took a job at A&M and he could not get out of Tallahassee quick enough.
So I think this year was kind of an enigma in that they lost their quarterback early on. It went sideways. I think he kind of righted the ship with beating Florida as badly as he did. But he's won a national championship at Florida State. He's won ACC titles. There were 75 million reasons to take on a new challenge, right? And these guys are very ego-driven. They want a new challenge. And I think Florida State kind of, with questioning your loyalty, this, that, I think he just said, hey, I've lost the ship. I'm going to take the job. There's a famous Twitter photo outside his house with his Christmas tree on the curb. literally, I don't know if it's his house or not, but it's funny. So I want to say Florida State kind of saw the fan base and they saw the writing on the wall, and they broke up with him before he had the chance to break up with them. I would have loved for it to have been a little more civil. I'd love to him to have won and maybe chance to get the bowl game, but gosh, go to Texas A&M, make $75 million. Who's going to blame him, right? God bless him. It's a new challenge. I hope Florida State fans aren't bitter. He gave him a national championship in eight good years. So,
yeah. Well, that's what I always say about, am I mad that Urban left Ohio or left and Florida came to Ohio State? And I say, look, he brought us two championships, along with Tebow and Harvin and Gonzalez and a lot of the guys, Bubba Caldwell, but you know, interesting things. All right, Bill, I want to put the spotlight on you for a second. One word for what's happening in Tennessee right now with their coaching search.
If it's a hyphenated word, it's one word, but it's dumpster fire. Is that one word?
Sure.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
Wow.
So since last week, you had Greg Schiano pretty much almost hired, and then they pulled the job away from him because of, rumors that he knew what was going on with Joe Paterno. You had, who was next? Dave Doran from NC State. You had one other one I thought there was.
Cutcliffe from Duke. They talked about
Cutcliffe
him.
Cutcliffe from Duke said no. Doran from NC State said no.
Did Cutcliffe say no already? I didn't see that.
Cutcliffe said no. You know, and then you have Lane Kiffin just throwing some amazing trolling tweets out. You had the John Curry, the AD, fly to LA to apparently offer the job to Mike Leach. And everything was apparently in paper. And then the chancellor of Tennessee summoned Curry back to Tennessee to fire him. And then he was instantly replaced with Phil Fulmer to be the new AD. Now the rumor is Les Miles is going to be the head coach, possibly announced as early as tomorrow. What are you guys hearing on that? And what do you think is going on with Tennessee now that you see Kirby Smart is heading to the college football playoffs? Dan Mullen is creating some energy. You have, Will Muschamp solidly in at 9-3 and happy with that in South Carolina. Does Tennessee have a chance to do anything next year?
Next year? It's like playoffs?
Playoffs?
Next year?
So, Sean, I'll jump in real quick. I was glad to see Schiano still part of Urban Meyer's staff, winning a Big Ten championship. What Tennessee did to him was just brutal.
Yes.
Just hate it. And who wants that job after what happened? So I've heard T. Martin. I don't know if you've heard the same thing. Gosh, if they can get Les Miles, I would take it right now and run. A winner, a proven winner, if he wants to take on that challenge, God bless him. I see more of a T. Martin, a guy trying to get a Tennessee guy with Tennessee roots trying to get his break in the head coaching ranks. And no, they will not compete next year.
Right.
Quick.
I'm on that same page. If they can get Les Miles, they got to jump. Go. Yeah. Take it. You know, they can't do better than that right now with what's left.
Yep.
So,
hey.
Yeah, so we'll see. So a couple of the jobs that are open, looks like Scott Frost to Nebraska is going to open up UCF. Todd, you tweeted out that Kevin Sumlin from Texas A&M might be the favorite there.
That's what I'm hearing.
I'm going to guess Willie Taggart to Florida State.
That's the number one rumor. Yeah.
But he's been posting on social media how he's staying. I don't know if that's negotiation or not.
Right.
So who knows?
Well, remember on Wednesday, Jimbo Fisher said he was loyal to Florida State.
True.
Bill, you were going to say something.
Yeah, I was just, when we wrap up the college football, I just wanted to make sure before we go to golf, I want to slip in a little bit of baseball hot stove league. Because there's something pretty cool happening.
Yes.
In the next
one. Something big happening right now.
Yeah.
There's two things you want to mention. Probably Ohtani and Stanton, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Take the wheel.
Yeah. So here's the deal. Start with Giancarlo Stanton. I mean, basically given an ultimatum by the Marlins. Either you accept a trade because he has a no-trade clause, or you're going to be surrounded by a bunch of bums because we can afford nothing but you and a bunch of bums.
Yeah, his salary, Bill, I believe, is $275 million.
Probably $27 million a year. And so,
wow.
So he's right now in pretty extensive talks with the Giants, which, you know, would be amazing.
It's kind of a three-way trade, right? Isn't it a three-way trade?
It would have to be. Yeah, it would go.
The Cardinals and the
– Yep. Just moving money and bodies and things. So the Giancarlo Stanton watch is on, but I think even more interesting is the Shohei Ohtani. This kid we talked about last year, about the same time, maybe. This kid out of Japan, he's 24 years old. He's the top pitcher and one of the top hitters in Japanese baseball. He plays both ways, not on the day he pitches, but on non-pitching days, he plays first, and he's got in 400 at bats. Is it 400 or something like 48 home runs, bunch of RBIs, hitting 283, 290. The kid's amazing. So he's the bid process is open. If you want to, it costs $20 million. You give $20 million to the Nippon Ham Fighters, and then you get a chance to negotiate with him.
Wow.
And so he's a very homeboy, right? He lives at home with his mom. He's very quiet. He never parties. He's just a really quiet kid, and he wants a small market on the West Coast. He's flat out said that.
So Seattle's
in that running. The Giants.
San Diego
has said they're making a full court press for him. Everyone on the West Coast has said they're going to try. But the big news is this. He's flat out already said to the Red Sox and the Yankees, don't even try. I'm not coming.
Yep. Yeah.
Which is cool because they're the teams that get a lot of those big names that come out of either Cuba or Japan. Seem to always kind of end up in one of those two teams. So that's pretty exciting.
Let me ask you that.
Cardinals, I mean, he wants to be on the West Coast.
Most people wouldn't think of Phoenix as West Coast, but I would. It's not on the coast, so to speak, but right. Would he consider Arizona?
He's already ruled him out. So this is such a big deal. You can go online and find the Shohei Ohtani sweepstakes, and team by team, it tells you who he said no to already. Right,
he is a mama's boy. Right,
he is a mama's boy.
He wants to fly home.
Yep, yeah. Yep. So he's, you know, it said the Reds are said to have serious interest in landing Ohtani, but it doesn't have his result. If he said no, the Tigers are not going after him because of the whole issue. The Astros are trying to get him, and maybe because of their world champions, they might have a shot, but they're too far away from the West Coast. The Dodgers are believed to be a finalist. The Mets have been told they're out of the running. I mean, it's just
so there's four teams, right? Basically, Seattle, Giants, Dodgers, and Padres.
They all get
Those
teams all get face-to-face meetings. So, and the decision has to be made by December 22nd. So,
hey, Sean, Oakland may be too far east for him. He may not like Oakland.
Yeah, actually,
when
you land there, it actually is a little farther east. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
He's got to get a puddle jumper to San Francisco. Yeah.
So we'll get to talk about that in a couple of weeks. It'll be fun to see where he ends up. So,
and all right, guys, two words to finish up our conversation. Tiger's back.
His back is healthy. Is that what you're talking about?
His back's healthy. I watched on Thursday. I believe both you guys watched on Thursday. A lot of people watched Golf Channel or the Golf Channel app on Thursday.
Yeah.
There was some excitement. My son, made sure to come down and tell me. He says, hey, you know, Tiger starts at 12:05 today, right? Like, this is a big deal. And he, for all intents and purposes, he didn't win the tournament. He finished ninth. But Bill, let's start with you. Your initial thoughts on Tiger Woods' appearance at the Hero World Challenge, a small, limited field with the best of the best in the country, but or best of best in the world. But
yeah, no, he. I'm a huge Tiger honk. I've admitted that many, many times, and so there's nothing I want more than him to come back and be relevant, win again. I want him to win again. I want him to win another major, shut up a whole bunch of people. And it can be done. It's not impossible because, you know, people in their 40s win majors. It's just the way it goes. It just takes putting together that 4 days that week. But I'll tell you, on Thursday, it really looked like the Tiger of old. Everything looked good. The swing was good. The mental part of the game was good. Yeah, chip or two wasn't there, but it wasn't anywhere near what he did a year ago back in the West Coast when he had the yip chips. I mean, it was brutal. So it was very exciting. And if you take out those 10 holes, you know, that 10-hole stretch, right, on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that 10-hole stretch on Saturday from 1 to 10, he shot 5 over in 10 holes. He had a heck of a tournament. If he just doesn't have that stretch, you're looking at a 13-under, maybe tied for third. It was his mental attitude during the whole day. He wasn't losing it completely. He wasn't getting down. A lot of smiles, a lot of, you know, a couple fist pumps, and he just looked like he was engaged. And I think he felt good. And if he comes out of this feeling healthy, and I'm sure we'll hear about it on the Golf Channel updates all week long. How does Tiger feel? How's his physical routine going to be? This is going to be fun to watch. 2018 is a ton of fun.
Did you see any of his post-round interviews with Steve Sands?
Yeah, a couple of them. Yep.
I mean, he smiled.
Yep.
He was engaging, actually.
Yep.
He didn't, it wasn't in a visible hurry to leave the conversation.
Right.
I know he's the host and things like that, so there's part of it, but he really looked like he's kind of changed, like thinking like, hey, look, this is kind of my last hurrah. And I don't mean this is his last hurrah. I just mean I'm back and I got to just kind of show the world that, hey, look, my kids are more important to me. You know, my game and my health is important to me. My friendships. He's buddies with these guys on the tour. And clearly it's the older guy. Bill, it's like the way Todd treats us on the show.
Yeah. Todd, thanks a lot.
He looks up to us, you know, but
that the young guys on this show, that means I'm Jack frickin' Nicklaus, right? You get to be Tiger. Okay, fine.
No, but there could be worse.
He has fun with these guys. He knows all these guys from the Ryder Cup and the President's Cups. And I think they all like Tiger because they respect him and they want to see him play well.
He's the OG, right?
Yeah, he is the OG. And look, they want to, you know what, I think you ask a guy like Ricky or Jordan or Justin or Dustin, name them all, right? And if you said, would you take a...
They want to beat him when he's playing good.
Would you take a battle down the stretch on the back nine at Augusta or at the U.S. Open with Tiger? Everyone's like, I'm in. They would love that opportunity.
Hell yes.
Hell yes. So that's great. It's great for golf. It's great for sports. So it's...
Todd, what were your thoughts on what would you see when you watched the Hero World Challenge at all this weekend?
Well, Sean, I'm not the first time, won't be the last. I'm on the opposite side of Bill in that I haven't always been the biggest Tiger supporter. I was a Phil guy. And quite frankly, I didn't always root for Tiger, but now who he is now and where he's come from and the trials and tribulations. I mean, gosh, he's admitted that he was not mentally there. He wasn't in the right headspace. I think he had a lot of money and was perhaps, my speculation, self-medicating, maybe trying to figure things out. And he lost his way and he's back. So now I'm rooting for the guy. You know, just it's that's the beauty of sports and human nature. I mean, he seems humble, as you say. He's answering questions. He's smiling. For the reasons I didn't like him before, I like him now. So I think maybe the best thing for golf happened. He had a great Thursday, Friday, had a little bit of a reality check on Saturday. And I think maybe that kept the casual fan or maybe the super fan going, all right, he's got a long way to go, but boy, he's showing signs of being relevant again. And I agree with Bill. He can maybe win a major. I just happy to see him where he's at. Happy to see where he's at.
Yeah. Hey, Bill, as I told you, I played golf on Friday and back to the old days. I got in sunsets here about 5:05 now, you know, this time of year. I came in the pro shop about, or in the grill about, I don't know, 4:40. So the sun was kind of going down. The last few holes were on and I sat at the bar and finished a beer and watched Tiger play his last hole and the last few guys play. And the next six groups that came in, what do you think their first question was when they walked through the door?
How'd Tiger do? What Tiger?
What's Tiger? Yeah. I mean, it is unbelievable. And I posted a tweet on Twitter earlier tonight. Go on golfchannel.com right now. There's about 75 images on the front page. If you scroll all the way down, more than 65% of them have a picture of Tiger in it or a video of Tiger in it.
Yep.
Ricky Fowler wins the tournament by four strokes. He's in eight pictures out of 75.
Ricky Fowler birdied eight of the first nine holes today.
He was amazing today.
Yeah. It was 8 under through nine. Shot 11 under.
Yeah.
And ran away with the tournament and nobody cares. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was just, you know, so just a stare down tip of the cap to Ricky Fowler. Yeah. What's up, Kate? Shout out to Kate. But yeah, Ricky Fowler, amazing tournament. Could be a good start to his year. Just giving him some confidence to beat a field of major winners, right? Well,
let's get him a major this year, right, Bill? Let's get him a major this year.
Oh, that'd be awesome. That'd be great.
Yeah. I really think it's coming. The guys on the.
I'm all about those Southern California boys, Tiger, Phil, Ricky. I'm all in on all of them.
Pretty good golfers, right?
Yeah, pretty good. So.
Yeah. So it's good to see Tiger back. It'll be, I don't know when his next tournament will be. You know, he obviously doesn't qualify for Kapalua, in the Mercedes Championship, but we'll see. I would assume he'll for sure be at Torrey in February.
Oh my gosh, are you kidding me? That's
I mean, that's, you know, that's a given, because that's a course he knows.
He's been winning tournaments there since he was a teenager.
Yeah,
but you know that. I mean, that's wherever he will go.
Do you know, seriously, do you know what his next start is?
No, I don't. We'll have that for next week.
So, yeah,
because I'm not sure he's even announced it yet.
Yeah, and you know, obviously, you know, the key is, can he stay in competition? Can he stay in that mindset?
Can he stay healthy? Is that fused back and hold up? Yeah. So that's
and really question. Can he keep being, like Todd said, the guy that Todd's kind of fallen back in like with,
right?
A friendly guy who's not gonna, you know, be dating, you know, Denny's strippers and things like that.
Whoa, I don't care about that. hey, I think we saw a little bit of it in the President's Cup, but he wasn't playing in the spotlight. But when you look back, I mean,
right.
You saw him as the co-captain. Again, you don't have to be a robot. You don't have to be the smiling, waving guy. It just seems like he's at peace with himself, maybe, and just enjoying the moment, right? I don't think he enjoyed the moment maybe a lot of times in the past for whatever reason. I think maybe he's embracing being Tiger, and who knows? I hope it continues. I wish him well. I'm sure you guys do the same. So
cool.
Well, guys, let's call it a wrap for the night. Good conversation. We didn't hit on the big sports of NBA and NHL, but once again, I think we are football fans first and foremost, and then obviously golf. Bill, for you, me and you, is at the heart of our mindset. Let's recap the week. Todd, what do you got coming up this week as we begin the first full week of December?
Wow. First full week of December. So I got some more training opportunities this week. I don't know if you boys ever heard of Wilson Learning. If not, Google it. It's a, I'm becoming the versatile salesman this week. It's a 3-day training seminar my company is going to send me to in Atlanta. So it's pretty cool. And also coming up this week, Sean, I know we've talked about this a million times in the past. It's not professional, it's more personal, but I would urge everyone to do themselves a favor and reach out to someone who they love and haven't talked to in a while. I told you before, I lost my uncle yesterday, which is still kind of a mind, it's messing my mind a little bit. I literally, guys, I was body surfing with him in the Atlantic Ocean in August at our family reunion. And I talked to him one time since then. And gosh, in the last week or so, I was like, I should reach out to Uncle Dave, and just didn't do it. And you get the bad news. So professionally and personally, reach out to those people that you want to. Make the time, take a minute, make a call. Sean, I know we've talked about it before. Call your parents, tell them you love them, all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's that. From a professional side, Sean, I caught your Facebook Live, and you got Peter Brewer engaged in one of your Facebook Live conversations. And gosh, I love the, is it bloke? Is that what you call someone for Australia? Right. I love the bloke. Was very impressed that you could just say, hey, Peter Brewer, you're on, hop on board. And 30 seconds later, he was there. So I thought it was very cool. Love how you engage not only in your friends and family, but also your fellow colleagues. So I'll leave it at that. And good luck. Have a great week, boys.
Appreciate it. Bill, what do you got going on? That love the episode with Mike from Durham. Mike
Schneider with First
Schneider. Uh-huh. Yeah, really, really smart kid, and great, very engaging conversations. That I find you sometimes getting a little stare downy in your real estate sessions.
It happens. It does happen when I know a guy's got a sports angle. We're gonna go there, and
of course, man, I love it. Man.
Yeah, I apologize to those real estate professionals that listen to the podcast that don't care about sports, because they're out there. You know that, Sean, right?
Yeah, listen.
Exactly.
We got some fans of this show that listen. Cousin Bailey down there in Tampa,
right.
and Cody here in Columbus. You know, we got some guys that I'm invited to be join us on the listener line, and one of these days coming in the winter here, we'll have some extra guests. But yeah, I thought your conversation with Mike was great.
It was a lot of fun. This week on the podcast, in the real estate sessions, it's Matthew Ferrara, philosopher. That's what I'm going to say. I love Sean, and thank you for the heads up. And I've known about Matthew for 8, 9, 10 years. I've followed his stuff online, And I didn't realize you were as close to him as you were. So it was great that you made the connection for us. In fact, he was really cool when I connected with him initially. He said, hey, if Sean Carpenter says that I need to be on your podcast, then I need to be on your podcast. And I thought that was great. So really nice guy. It's a great episode. I edited it today and it really came out nice. So that'll publish Tuesday morning. I'm interviewing another one of your cohorts, Sean. It's Alexandra Filiacci, who's with Coldwell Banker Corporate in the social media side of things. And so
she's
a rising star. Yeah. Another young girl, probably late 20s, early 30s, just guessing from her CV that I went over. And she's really that'll be a lot of fun. So that's happening. We've got a busy day tomorrow at work. We're having a sales meeting that's going to be all about business planning and getting ready for 2018. So Todd, I know that's something you like to talk about. And then we're surprising them, since they won't hear this before tomorrow. We're surprising everybody with a trip over to the Topgolf over in Brandon. And we're going to have a 2 or 3 hour kind of team building day playing, you know, little golf at the Topgolf facility.
So that'll be fun.
Have you boys been?
Oh yeah. We had one in Gilbert where I lived back in Phoenix. I've been many, many times. So
Sean, have you been?
Yeah. I went for the first time out in Sacramento with Steve and Heather Ostrom.
Yeah.
And had a blast. It's not golf. It's a different style.
It's like bowling. Yes,
it's like bowling. Yeah,
fun though.
It's
good team
bowling
building, right?
Bowling and darts. Yes, but it's a lot of fun. And
there'll be 15 people there, and 2 of us play golf. So
yeah, so it'll be a lot of fun.
We'll be very busy showing people how to hit a ball.
Yes, and
get it in here
and order more drinks. Right,
keep the food and drink coming. It'll be a lot of fun. So
yeah,
right. How about you, Sean?
Good for you guys, Bill. Hey, I wrap up my year, my final road trip, so to speak. I fly out tomorrow morning early to Atlantic City. I fly to Philadelphia and then drive down to Atlantic City. Triple Play is the big real estate event. It's the it's 3 state associations from Pennsylvania, New York, and New Jersey, and they have their convention in Atlantic City every year. It's four days or three and a half days of all their continuing education. So all the agents from those 3 states come in. I'm doing 3 sessions on Tuesday. I'm doing Getting Gear, my leadership session. I'm doing my buyer counseling session called Building a Better Buyer. And I'm doing my signature class that I've been doing since 2005 called the Realtor's Toolbox, Tools, Tips, and Techniques to Build Your Real Estate Business. So always fun. I'm going to see my friends Sharon Steele and George Krause and hopefully a bunch of other friends from Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and New York. And then I'm back to try and just do some building relationships and try and get some business booked for 2018, Bill.
And do we have anything coming up in 2018, you and I?
Hey, man, we are working hard to try and get
with our friends
out in AZ, friends out in Arizona. We are working our friends, James and Beth Adams and the team. I saw you had a nice little tweet to Paula Montofer.
Yeah.
Trying to get it, make it happen. I think we'll get some things on the books and certainly excited to maybe get down even to Tampa. I might have to bring my sticks on that one. I'll have to fly Southwest because bags fly free.
Exactly.
And can make sure the golf clubs make it down.
And hey, Bill, go ahead.
No, I just want to make sure you saw the Floribama video and make sure anyone else
that didn't, fantastic.
Go to SNL.
We're going to play
the SNL, and it's instead of Jersey Shore, it's the Floribama Shore. And Todd, you hang out there, so you guys.
It was classic.
I'm always smiling, Bill. Bill, I learned on Facebook Live that Sean Carpenter, who just turned 50, has never gotten a passport. And that is his goal at 2018, to get a passport and either go to Canada, Australia, Ireland, or Scotland. Am I correct, Sean?
That's correct. Yes, that's the spots. That's my target list.
Nice. Wow. My son's headed to New Zealand in May, by the way, to a boys trip. A bunch of guys from college are just going down there for like 10 days. So.
Woo. Get Peter Bloke on call with some bail money, Sean.
Peter Brewer, not Peter
Brewer. Brewer! I said Bloke. Oh, my God. What is it? Is it 10:30 on a Sunday? It's time to go.
Yes,
exactly. Yeah. Hey, boys, on behalf of Bill and Todd, it's great to talk sports with them. It's great to drink beers with them. It's good to be friends with them. Thanks for listening to The Stare Down.